Welcome to Stepping Into Truth. I'm your host, Omkari Williams, and I'm very glad you're here with me today. This is the podcast where we have discussions on issues of race, gender, and social justice. If you are interested in diving deeper into these issues or simply would like to support the podcast, I invite you to become a member of my Patreon community. You can find that at patreon.com/Omkari Williams. There's also a link in the episode notes for the show. Today, I'm going to be doing something a bit different. Today, it's just going to be me. I'm not going to be interviewing anyone or talking to someone about something specific. Instead, what I'd like to do is talk about what's been happening in the last few weeks in our country. I am recording this 5 days after the Senate Judiciary hearings between Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And this is all around Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, I thought that this was something that was mostly going to be an issue in the U.S., but I was talking with a friend who lives in the U.K., and she said that people over there were riveted. And I think that what that interest is about is beyond just the politics of it. I think the interest is because we are at a moment in time where issues of gender are so primary in our conversations. And I want to talk about that a lot in this little mini podcast episode. So the first thing I want to say is that I literally spent the entire day on my couch watching Dr. Blasey Ford and Judge Kavanaugh in their testimony. And the things that struck me hit me so hard. And I went from incredible compassion for Dr. Blasey Ford to feeling so enraged as I watched Judge Kavanaugh. And the compassion that I felt for Dr. Ford stemmed from a couple of things. First, of course, for the assault that she suffered that has had such a lasting impact on her life. I mean, it's been 36 years, and she still makes decisions that are based on that one experience and how traumatic it was for her. And that someone can do that to someone else, that someone can cause that kind of damage in someone else's life and then go on their merry way as if nothing happened is so infuriating for me. And then beyond that, above that, the sense of entitlement that I experienced from Judge Kavanaugh was jaw-dropping. That a man who was applying for a job and a job on the highest court in this country felt that it was okay for him to yell at the people who were questioning whether he should have that job. The disrespect he showed to the female senators on the panel, all of that was just astonishing to me because there is no way that a woman could behave in that manner and get away with it. But Judge Kavanaugh, a wealthy white man, not only got away with it, the other wealthy white men on the panel on the Republican side supported him. They affirmed his right to be so disrespectful because of the damage that had been done to his life in the last 2 weeks. They totally dismissed the damage done to Dr. Blasey Ford's life over the last 36 years. And that had me just so enraged. I can't even really accurately describe it. So when I came down from that rage high, what I started thinking about was how we got here and how do we get out of this position? And one of the things that really struck me was Dr. Blasey Ford's demeanor during the hearings. And if you were watching or if you've seen clips, what you really see is how this woman was doing her best to be helpful, doing her best to not make it more difficult for the members of this panel, some of whom were actively, through their questioner, hostile to her. And I thought, this is what we do, we women. We reflexively take care of other people. We reflexively are trying to smooth the waters. I mean, to the point where Dr. Blasey Ford even at one point said, I can read fast when presented with a document that she needed to read before she could reasonably respond to the question that had been asked. And I thought, she shouldn't have to read fast. She shouldn't have to feel that she needs to read fast. This is important. She should be able to take her time. But that's not how we typically respond, we women. We typically respond in a way as to make it easiest on the person who is asking something of us. And this is something we need to stop. We need to stop trying to be good girls. We need to stop trying to accommodate other people when accommodating them means we are doing harm to ourselves. And then, so that was Thursday. And then on Saturday, I had an experience of being part of a group of women who were doing what we call a speak out. And this speak out was specifically around stories of abortion and sexual assault, things that women typically keep to themselves or tell only a very, very few trusted people. And it was my job to help facilitate these conversations. So there were 8 incredibly brave women who sat in a room in Savannah, Georgia, and they told their stories to people they did not know, a room full of strangers. And these were stories that many of them had never told another person. There was one woman in her late 60s who was there with her mother, who was in her 90s. And this woman had been raped at 17 and had told her mother about this experience the morning of our speak out. So over 50 years had gone by before she had said a word to her own mother about this event, this traumatizing event in her life. And we did this speak out because we want to normalize these conversations. We want women to not hold these experiences inside and just be eaten up by misplaced shame. Because the shame isn't on the victim, the shame is on the assaulter. And that's something we really need to pay attention to. So what I want to say in this little mini podcast episode is that we need to do things differently. And I certainly do not have all of the answers. I have some thoughts on how we can do things differently, but I'm not an expert. I'm just a person who is incredibly interested in a just world and who understands deeply the power of story. So I'm going to give you my ideas, and I would love to hear from you about what you think we can do to change this dynamic. So the first thing I want to say is that we have to be willing to find our voices. We have to be willing to do the work to be able to say, oh, this is what my experience has been in the world, and this is valid. And I get to talk about this experience, and I get to share it, and no one gets to shame me for the experiences that I have had. And no one gets to shame me for the concerns that I have. I get to speak my truth. Doesn't have to be everybody's truth, but it is mine. And if we want our concerns in life addressed, we cannot stay in the background. So something that happened over the weekend was there was a thing going around on social media, and what people were asking women to do was replace their profile pictures with a black square, just an empty black square. And this was to represent a world without women. And while I completely respect the intention of the people who came up with this idea, I actually thought it was kind of a mistake. I thought it was a terrible idea because we already are in the background, we women. It is already a world that does not pay enough attention to us. So I didn't feel that taking ourselves further out of the equation was the way to go. On the contrary, I feel like what we need to do is stand up and speak up and put ourselves in front of people who are making decisions that dramatically impact our lives and have been making those decisions without any consultation with us. The two women who confronted Senator Jeff Flake in that elevator were amazing. I can't even begin to imagine the courage and the level of anger that it took to motivate them to put themselves in that position to speak truth to power in that way through their pain. And I am so deeply grateful because I believe it is because of them that this process has been slowed down so that we can get more information about Judge Kavanaugh, so that we can make informed decisions about whether he should be on this court. I personally don't believe he should be, but I really, really want at least all the facts to come out so that if he is appointed to the court, we at least are in a position to say, here's where he needs to recuse himself from this case or that case, because we understand his background and his biases. So I don't think we should ever say, let's take women out of the equation. I think what we need to say is women need to stand up and be right there in the forefront so that our concerns and our deeply held experiences are valued and seen. So the next thing I think is that we have to start sharing our stories. We just have to. When we don't share our stories, decisions are made without our input. And right now, decisions are being made without the input of half the world. And that's not going that well. The decisions that are being made work really well for a very small percentage of people and very poorly for the majority of people. And if we don't speak up, then we don't really get to say anything about that. We don't get to complain about that because we are abdicating our responsibility. So I think it's incredibly important that we speak up and that we tell our stories. And we can start small. We don't have to be the two women in the elevator. We can start small. We can tell our stories to the people around us. We can write an op-ed for our local newspaper. We can stand in an elevator in the Senate building and confront a senator who's about to make a decision that will impact our lives for decades to come. So where we start, from tiny on that spectrum to full out on that spectrum, does not matter as much as that we do start matters. We have been abdicating our responsibility to the squeakier wheels in our midst. We will listen to a woman we know speak passionately about a subject that we have personal experience of, and we will let it go. We will think, well, she said it, that's enough. But it's not enough. It can't just be the one she. It has to be she said this, and she said this, and she said this. And the accumulated weight of all our stories is what is going to make the difference in the world. So it doesn't matter how small you start, start. Also, make space. Make space to listen to the stories of other women, because too often we don't. We just sort of go our merry way and we have the conversations that are easy and we avoid the conversations that are harder. Or someone will try to tell us a story and we'll jump in and try to fix it for them. And that's not what we really need to be doing. We don't necessarily need to be fixing things for anyone else. What we do need to do is listen and hold that space and be able to make a difference by listening to the story that is being told to us. So I really encourage you to listen and not try and fix it unless someone asks you to help them fix it. Sometimes what we need to do more than anything else is be heard. We need more than anything else to tell our story, to be witnessed, to be seen. And when we try and fix something, we sometimes shut someone down unintentionally. So let's learn to make space for the stories of other women. Another thing is that it's been lifetimes that women have been silenced. This not wanting to listen to women is not a new thing. And that means that a lot of us don't have any practice in this. We have no experience of sharing our truth. And that is really hard. So if that's you, if you know that there are stories within you that need to come out and you can't speak them out, then try writing them out. Just try putting the words on paper, and they don't have to be in beautiful, coherent sentences. It could just be bullet points of what happened or what you feel. It does not have to be perfect. What it needs to be is yours in whatever way it manifests. And then you get to share that in whatever way feels comfortable for you, when it feels comfortable. But I am asking that maybe you stretch a little bit. Find one person you can share your writing with. Even if you just say, I want you to read this and I don't want any feedback, that's completely legitimate. What we're trying to do is build that muscle of telling our truth. And that's a muscle that has been atrophied in a lot of us on purpose by the way we are brought up and by that stricture of, you know, be a good girl, and that women should sort of stay in their realm and not move into the larger world. And we see that when we watch the hearings, and we see that in a Senate Judiciary panel that has 21 members, one side has 11 members, and they're all white men, all of them. And on the whole committee, there are 4 women. And that is not representative of the country. So we need to do better. But the way we start doing better is by speaking up. I also would suggest that you pay attention to the places where you reflexively shut down. We do this a lot. You know, someone will start a conversation and we'll think, uh-oh, it's going into that danger zone where I start to get emotional, or I start to feel, you know, that flutter in my chest. And we just turn our brain off. We sort of stop hearing. We don't really participate. And I'm asking you to notice. I'm asking you to notice those places, because those are the places where the most work probably needs to be done, because those are the places where we're feeling afraid. And to move past that fear is really important if we're going to step into the truth and power of who we all are. And then the last thing I'm going to say is expand your community. Expand it. We tend to live in these little silos where we have, you know, our best friends, our 1 or 2 or 3 best friends, and we tell them most things, if not everything, but we don't speak our truth out into the larger world. And one of the ways that the system keeps us in our place is by keeping us siloed, because we don't recognize that our experience isn't just our experience. It is the experience of so many, many, many other women in the world. And when we start building those connections and recognizing that truth, we increase our power exponentially. So staying in our little silos is exactly what the patriarchal system that we are struggling to dismantle wants us to keep doing, because that is how they maintain their power. So I am encouraging you to get out of your silo. I am encouraging you to step into the larger world and find those women, find those sisters out in the world who speak to the same issues that you feel are important in your specific life. So that's it for today. I just had to get some of this off my chest. It's been such an intense week, and I know how hard this has been for so many of you. And I see you. My heart is with you. I encourage you to take care of yourself, because that event was last Thursday. Doesn't really mean anything if what it brought up was something that has caused you great pain. So do the self-care that you need to do. Do the talking you need to do. Do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself, and then get back in the fight, because this fight is winnable. We can do this. We just have to work together. So thank you so much for listening to this unusual episode of Stepping Into Truth, and I will be back with a regular episode very soon.